We're doing the Maharal. We're beginning the first Be'er. What page is that in the regular editions?
Yud Gimel,
page Chaf Vav in Rav Hartman's edition. And we'll dedicate our learning to Liora Bat Ada. Hashem should bless her and fulfill her wishes for good. HaBe'er HaRishon, the first well, the first subject the Maharal is going to deal with. And we know the Maharal is dealing with the challenges, the claims that people make against the sages. Mayim Kedoshim Chafaru Sarim Chachmei Charashim. Meimav Mikol Te'uv Mafrishim Shomrim Adam Mechalaim Kadashim. Mechalaim Kashim. The first well is holy waters that were dug by the leaders, the wise men. The water is clean of any filth, and the waters protect every person from harsh illnesses. Mavri'im u'mavirim nigei anashim, they heal the person and remove all blemishes. Machzikim u'machlifim koach lechalashim, they strengthen and give rejuvenation to the weak. U'misham yipared v'yal arba rashim, and you will find that this well, this stream divides into four streams, into four parts. There are going to be four issues the Maharal is going to contend with in this first well. And if you recall from the introduction, the Maharal said the general topic of this first well was to discuss the claim that the rabbis either added or detracted from the Torah. And now the Maharal is going to explain how this divides into four topics. The first topic is Hatluna Rishona, the first claim that people will often make against the sages is Mashem Omrim Ki Yosifu Chachamim Al HaTorah. They say that the sages added to the Torah. V'magzirot asher gazru v'osifu, and that's a reference to the decrees the rabbis made. Ad shegadshu asah, they say they made the measurement overflow. V'hem mei meriva asher ravu lomar ki v'torah k'tiv lo tosifu. And these people quarrel as they say, look, the Torah says you shouldn't add. Gam yesh kan shtei Torot, haTorah shenitna mipi Hashem yitbarach haidei Moshe alav haShalom, v'Torat Chachamim, Torah bifnei atzma. They claim it's reached a point where there are two Torahs. This is the claim they make against the sages. We have the Torah Moshe gave us, and then we have all the rabbinic things which are their own Torah. Then kan Torah achat Moshe ra'ui. Their claim is you've added, you've changed. This isn't one Torah the way it should be. Gam Torat Moshe al yedei ze chasera. And furthermore, they say by doing this you cause Moshe's Torah to be lacking. Kasher tzrich lashlim al yedei mitzvat chachamim. Do you think you had to fill in the blanks to add in what was missing to the Torah? Gam amru shegaru min haTorah v'hakatuv omer lo tigra u'kach hem divrehem. And finally, they claim you've detracted from the Torah, and the Torah says you shall not detract. So these are the claims they make against the sages. You've added, you've changed, you've made it into two Torahs. Do you really think something was missing that you had to fill in the blanks, and you've detracted from the Torah? Those are basically the claims, if we sum up what the Maharal just said to us. So these are the claims the Maharal is coming to answer. And undoubtedly, these words were said without giving proper thought, without looking closely enough to the claims and to what Chazal did. Because anyone who looks closely, even if he only understands lightly, he doesn't have depth, will know how to answer and refute this claim. Because if we say that the intention of the Torah, when the Torah says don't add, if the intention of the Torah was don't add any mitzvos to what's written in the Torah, then Mordechai and Esther, who gave us the holiday of Purim, and they added 2 days, the 14th and 15th of Adar when we celebrate Purim, then you have to say that Mordechai and Esther, who are part of the Tanakh, well, then they went against the Torah. How dare they add something to the Torah? If we're going to take things simply, that when the Torah said don't add, it means you cannot add any mitzvos, so then Mordechai and Esther were in transgression. And furthermore, if you look at the text itself where the Torah says do not add, you will see that the claim is an error if you only analyze the context. Because if what the Torah meant when it says don't add was that the Torah meant don't make new decrees, then by comparison, the next thing the Torah says right there is do not detract. And what must that mean? If to add means to add mitzvot, so then what does it mean to detract? She'al yachsiru devar min ha-Torah levatel oto. Then to detract must mean, don't take anything off of the Torah. Don't annul any of the mitzvot. V'chi devar kazeh tzarich hazara? And you have to ask yourself, is it logical? Does the Torah have to warn us? When the Torah gives the 613 mitzvot, does the Torah have to say, and don't detract one? Obviously, if the Torah said it, the Torah meant, don't detract it. Why does the Torah have to have this rule? If do not detract means don't take away from the mitzvot, don't remove a mitzvah. Well, that's not logical. Obviously, if the Torah said it, it meant you shouldn't remove it. Shelo yivatel devar min ha-Torah. Shehizhira ha-Torah bekama mekomot shelo yivatlu mitzvot ha-Torah. You have numerous places where the Torah says, don't forgo any mitzvot of the Torah. So why would the Torah over here have to warn me, don't add a mitzvah, which would then have to also mean that don't retract means don't remove a mitzvah? I know that from elsewhere in the Torah. Furthermore, the word lo tigra, does that really mean to detract? The word geraon doesn't mean to remove a mitzvah, rak bitul ha-Torah. That would be the nullification of a part of the Torah. When I say this mitzvah is not relevant, you don't have to wear tefillin anymore. I was once on a plane, and there was a missionary sitting next to me. And there was a young man who put on tefillin. So he turns to the young man, and he says, where in the Bible does it say to do that? So the young man was new to Judaism, and he started stuttering. And I said, you sure you want to know? So he says to me, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible. I said, okay. I pulled out a Tanakh, and I said, here's where it says it. So then he started stuttering. So I said, you're asking him, now why don't you ask yourself? If you see it's in the Bible, so don't you think the question's on you and not on him? So, usually I don't argue with missionaries. But I had to put him in his place so he doesn't keep bugging this other guy sitting next to me. The Torah says, don't detract, lo tigra. Now, does lo tigra really mean not to remove a mitzvah? To remove a mitzvah would be the nullification of part of the Torah. The Torah says, if you don't listen to my mitzvahs and don't perform them, how can you say to detract when really you mean to nullify a part of the Torah? But what does lo tigra literally mean? It means you have a mitzvah. Don't detract within a mitzvah. I told you how I want you to do the mitzvahs. Don't change around the laws within a mitzvah. That's what the Torah means, don't detract. It doesn't mean don't detract a mitzvah. It means don't detract within the mitzvah. What the Torah is telling you in the commandment, lo tigra, is that you shouldn't detract from within a mitzvah. The person shouldn't say, I know the mitzvah is to wear tzitzis on four corners of my garment. Four tzitzis on four corners. But you know what? I only have a three-cornered garment, so I'll put tzitzis on three corners. That's not tzitzis. That's called detracting. You detract from a detail within a mitzvah. And once you understand that, you understand that when the Torah says don't add, what it means is shelo yosif al ha-mitzvah atzma davar. Don't add something within the mitzvah. It's not telling you don't add your own Torah. Lo tosif en lo tigra. So the Maharal says the word lo tigra, if you really analyze the word ligra, ligra means to remove from something. You have something, you remove something from it. So the Maharal says, well, to remove a mitzvah from the Torah, that's something which the Torah already tells us. You got to keep this Torah. So it doesn't mean don't remove a mitzvah from the Torah. What it means is within a mitzvah, don't remove a part of the mitzvah. We have details, and don't change those details. And the same thing with lo tosif, it means don't add details. Shal yosif al ha-mitzvah atzma davar. Don't add to a mitzvah. Rak yaseh ha-mitzvah kefi ma sheyesh lasot bli tosefet. But the performance has to be without additions. Derech mashal, for example, lo tosif v'ayinu shlo yosif yom echad al chag ha-sukot v'al chag ha-matzot. For example, a person shouldn't say, Sukkot is such a beautiful holiday, I'll extend it one more day. Pesach is a beautiful holiday, let me add a day to Pesach. Veino says a mishum safek o mishum gedo v'siag, and he's not doing it because he's in doubt which day is really Pesach. So in Chutzlaritz we have a second day Yom Tiv because we're not sure which day is Yom Tiv, or because we have to protect from a situation where we wouldn't know which day it is. But a person says, no, I'm going to make the holiday a little better. I'll add a day. He does it like l'shem mitzvat chag sukkot or l'shem chag matzot. He does it for the sake of the holiday. Let me make it a better holiday than God did. Let me go up one. Daval ze asur. So that's the prohibition. Ken roi la'asot rak shiva yamim. What you're supposed to do is a 7-day holiday ve'lo yoter and not more. We're talking about Pesach. V'chen mi shemosif al dal parshiot shel tefillin. Person says, I know the tefillin are supposed to have 4 parshios in them. Let me add one. You know, there's a beautiful parsha in the Torah of Tzitzis. Let me put that in my tefillin. Let me add another scroll into my tefillin. Lasot chamisha parshiot, vashte parshiot shen mezuzah. Or a person says, why should the mezuzah only have parshas shema and behoyim shamoa? Let me add a parsha to the mezuzah scroll. Mosif lasot gimel, if he adds another parsha, a third parsha, hareu bichlal lo tosifu. That's what the Torah means, don't add. It means don't add within the details of a mitzvah. V'chen lo tigru. By the same token, when the Torah says don't detract, it means im yichsar min dalet batim. Let's say he says, I'll wear tefillin, but I'll have 3 compartments in my tefillin. V'oseh min 4 batim gimel batim betefillin. U'meniach shtei parshiyot bebayit echad. He'll say, I'll just put 2 parshiyos in one compartment, but I'll have 3 compartments in my tefillin. V'arei kol parshiyot em betefillin. He'll say, you know, my tefillin has the same amount of scrolls as yours does. I just put 2 in one compartment. Rak she'oseh 3 batim. V'chen im yaseh 5 tzitzit beveged she'esh lo 5 kanfot. By the same token, if he puts 5 tzitzis on a garment that has 5 corners. The Torah says 4 tzitzis. What's he putting 5 for? And this is even worse than a person who says, I won't do the mitzvah. If a person were to leave the mitzvah alone completely, then all he's done is he's forgotten a mitzvah. He could have done a mitzvah and he didn't do it. אבל מי שגרע מן המצווה, but when a person detracts from a mitzvah, הוא משנה המצווה במעשה. He is changing the mitzvah. He is hurting the Torah, so to speak. ולפיכך הוא בלא תעשה. That's why the Torah prohibits it. Yeah.
This is one of the questions I asked you.
Ah, yeah? Okay.
You have to really...
If a person puts on 3 tzitzis in his garment, he's transgressed the commandment, do not detract in the mitzvos. But if he didn't put on any tzitzis, he wore a 4-cornered garment without tzitzis, he's forgone a mitzvah, a proactive mitzvah. But when we forgo a proactive mitzvah, so then it's a lesser sin than to transgress a lo sase, than to transgress a prohibition. So we've explained that lo tigra means not to detract from within a mitzvah, and lo tosif means not to add from within a mitzvah. And this is without question, and this is the tradition we have in this mitzvah. So that's step number one. So if they claim that the rabbis transgressed, that they added mitzvos to the Torah, that's not the commandment lo tosif. So that's step number one. And when you look for the source of this well, this concept that we're discussing, you will find that there are 4 areas, 4 sources. The first point is where Chazal interpreted a mitzvah in the Torah. This is what's commonly called divrei sofrim, the words of the rabbis. The word sofer really means rabbi. In the days of Ezra, in the days of the beginning of the Second Temple, a rabbi was called a sofer, because the rabbis knew the Torah down to the number. You could tell him word number 5622, and they'll tell you which word it was in the Torah. They knew the Torah down to the number, and they also, in that generation, they were very focused on boiling down the Torah to numbers. Meaning, that was the generation that said, how many arba avot nezikin? Lametet avot melachot. Arba reshuyot leShabbat. When you have Mishnayos throughout the Shas that say, there are 4 of this, there are 39 of that, there are 6 of this, there are 30 of that. Each time, that's that generation. Those rabbis were busy boiling down the Torah to numbers, so it would be easier to remember. So the rabbis of those generations were called sofrim, the counters, because they had the whole Torah like the palm of their hand. They knew it so well, but they were busy getting it down to numbers. So when you have an interpretation of a mitzvah in the Torah, so it's a biblical mitzvah, but you need the rabbi's interpretation, that is called divrei sofrim. Now that doesn't mean that the mitzvah is rabbinic, ki Torah legamrei, but it is biblical completely. And he is as obligated with regard to something that's their interpretation in the Torah as he is to something that's explicitly stated in the Torah. The only reason it's called divrei sofrim, the words of the sages, is because the interpretation is something that the sages taught us. You have mitzvos that you wouldn't know how to interpret if not for the sages. The Torah says, I want you to rest 7 days on Pesach. Then the Torah says, the first day and the seventh day will be a sabbatical. So wait a second, you told me to rest all seven, and then you told me only on the first and the seventh. So what about the 5 days in between? That's what's called Chol HaMoed. So there, the Torah left it to the rabbis to teach us what's permitted and what's prohibited, and whatever they teach us is biblical. The Torah tells us with regards to Yom Kippur, Shabbat Shabbaton v'initem et nafshotechem. It will be a Sabbath of sabbatical where you will afflict your soul. What am I supposed to do to afflict my soul? Sit in the sun? What am I supposed to do? Sit on needles? What am I supposed to do? So the Torah left it to the rabbis to interpret how you afflict yourself. Don't wash. Don't bathe. Don't anoint yourself. A husband and a wife separate. The rabbis interpreted it, but their interpretation has weight of a biblical mitzvah. Their interpretation is biblical. It's called Divrei Sofrim. It's the rabbinic interpretation, and we have many mitzvahs that way, where the Torah left it to the rabbis to interpret, but their interpretation has biblical weight. So if the Torah says in one place, when you have a carcass of an animal that's non-kosher, don't derive any benefit from it, and in another place the Torah just says, don't eat it, but you may derive benefit from it, so which one did the Torah mean? So the rabbis tell you, you're not allowed to do business in non-kosher food. But if you're a hunter and you pay taxes to the government, and your nets happen to catch a non-kosher animal, so then you don't have to let it go wild. You may sell it to a non-Jew to pay the taxes that the government charges you. So the rabbis took two verses that are seemingly contradictory, and they gave it an interpretation, and that interpretation has biblical weight. So that those instances where the rabbis gave us an interpretation of a biblical mitzvah, those instances are called divrei sofrim, the words of the sages, but they carry biblical weight. Yes?
Did Moshe teach the laws of Chol HaMoed or a later generation?
No,
it
comes later generation, right?
I don't know. So the first claim, we said the first claim against the rabbis is that they've added to the Torah, and he's addressed that to some level.
Where does it stand in the Torah that the rabbis is allowed to interpret? Because I was with a discussion with somebody. He told me, show me where does it stand. And I was like,
in the beginning of Parshas Shoftim, okay?
Yeah, but I look everywhere. I don't get it.
So I told you, the beginning of Parshas Shoftim. Look it up. Hasheni. Guys, I give you the exact location. You can't be so lazy. Something you got to do. It's not. Hasheni. Hem ha-mitzvot shehem be'atzmam divrei sofrim. So the second claim is that you have sometimes mitzvos that the mitzvah itself is rabbinic. There's no source in the Torah. It's not their interpretation of something it says in the Torah. But it's a completely rabbinic mitzvah. And sometimes the rabbis will point to a verse in the Torah and they'll say, look, that verse is supportive of what we're saying. So the sages will sometimes tell you the mitzvah is rabbinic. But the verse, well, the verse is used as an asmachta. You guys, did you encounter the term asmachta? Asmachta literally means to lean on. What it means is it's not derived from that verse, but it is connected to that verse, a life connection, what we might call an asmachta. And now the Maharal is going to explain what does that mean. So many people in error say that a mitzvah that's rabbinic, and the rabbis just said, oh, here's a nice verse, you could align this verse with the mitzvah. Really, there's no real connection to the Torah. רק שהם עשו למצווה דבר דרש מן התורה כאילו היה זה מליצה בלבד. But they're showing you a hint. You want, I'll show you an allegorical form how the Torah can allude to the mitzvah. But really the verse has nothing to do with it. That's what people might say in error. ואומרים כך טעו. And those who think that that's what an אסמכתא is, they're in error. לא הבינו דבריהם. They don't understand what the rabbi said. Ki chas v'shalom sheyeh davar achad midivrehem ne'emar la'achavat haloshon v'yipui hamlitza. God forbid that they should just say something to show you a beautiful twist of tongue, a beautiful look. I could show you how the Torah could even allude to this. Rak kol divrehem emet. But everything they say is true. They're not playing games. They're not saying we invented this, but I'll show you somewhere in the Torah that you could twist around and maybe see it the way you'd like. No. V'chasher amru minayin davar zeh. והביאו ראיה מן המקרא, יש באמת ראיה מן המקרא לדבריהם. Often the Gemara will say, where do we have this concept from? And it will bring a verse. And then we say halachically that the verse is not the source. We say the verse is an asmachta. Nonetheless, says the Maharal, there is still a true proof from the verse to the concept that the rabbis initiated. ויתבאר בקצת דברים והם עדות על השאר. The Maharal says, I will prove it with a few examples. And based on these few examples, you will be able to learn how to analyze the other examples, and then that these examples will be testimonial for all the other examples you find in Shas, that they too have a true source in the verse. Aye, the mitzvah isn't biblical. Right, it's not. But the verse does allude to the concept in a true way, as we will see. Examples are? Now he's going to bring them. But